Hello and welcome to Talking Trading. I'm Caroline Stephen. It is great to have you join us. On today's episode, we take a look at a trader's story. Justin Gillick completed the mentor program in 2010 and he is starting to make rocket profits. We talk to him about his journey, the strict discipline he enforces on himself, and his passion for eyeballing the charts. We also have trading trivia. But first up, here's the news for the week ending 31st of October with Chris Tate. Hi, Chris. How are you today?
I'm good, Caroline.
How did the US market close last week?
Well, the big talking point of last week was the moves by the Bank of Japan to crank up stimulus in Japan. This sent the Nikkei into some sort of paroxysm of joy, and it finished up almost 5% on Friday, and that filled through to our market and the US market. The US, particularly the Dow, is pushing towards new highs. The broader market, the S&P 500, is a little bit laggard, but courtesy of the Japanese, the little recovery we've been enjoying post the, I won't say mini correction, the little slowing we had in the markets, has actually gathered a little bit of pace.
And how did that flow onto the European markets?
The Europeans are a strange bunch, actually, in more ways than one, in that their markets have been lagging, particularly Germany. If you look at one of the problems of looking at Europe is people think it's fairly homogeneous. It's not. You have countries that verge from being sort of third world basket cases like Greece through to the powerhouse of Europe, which is Germany. And if Germany starts to falter a little bit, the rest of Europe just lands on its backside and goes nowhere. Their markets, whilst they got a push from these moves in Japan, they're really struggling. The FTSE 100 is struggling to get back into congestion. The DAX, which is the German index, has had a bounce, but it's not brilliant. And the EU 50, which is dominated by the Germans anyway and replicates the DAX, shows the same picture.
And coming back to the Australian market, how did that perform last week?
We got a lovely little push along courtesy of the Japanese, but we've had a number of very positive sessions. One of the structural problems we face, though, is that we have this sort of dichotomy in shares that drive the Australian market. You have the banks, which are the giant profitable powerhouses, and then you have the mining sector. And if one goes off the boil and the other one's not working, then we've got problems. And the problem with our mining sector is simply that commodity prices are on the fritz. Gold was down nearly 5% last week. Silver was down nearly 6%. Iron ore is hitting its 2009 low. And this means that stocks like BHP and Rio are, to use a technical term, stuffed. And until we can get commodity prices moving, then that large segment of our economy, and more importantly, that large segment of what represents speculative trading opportunities for local investors, just won't present itself for us. And that's problematic. And when you look at, you know, what's moving here in Australia, it's really a narrow band of bits and pieces. It's things like health care, things like property trusts, which I wouldn't touch with a 10-foot pole, telecommunications, which is largely Telstra. Telstra's been quite a driver in not only its own sector, but in the top 20 for quite a while now.
All right. And what opportunities are you looking at for this week's trading?
In terms of talking my own book, I'm quite naturally long the Nikkei. I'm looking at going long the Hang Seng out of Hong Kong. I'll continue with my long positions in the US, and I'm slowly building long positions in Europe, although that's a very tentative entry for me. And I'm still short gold and silver, also long most currencies against the yen.
Advice to traders this week?
Don't get caught up in all the hype about the Bank of Japan's stimulus package. The issue with the Nikkei is that the Japanese market's been effectively in a bear market now for better part of three decades. And whilst Friday's action was positive, the Nikkei really needs to get above 16,650 points and stay above it for this to be anything other than sort of a speculative trading opportunity.
Chris Tate, thank you for your time.
No worries, Caroline.
Louise Bedford here. Want to gain a glimpse into the depraved, genius-like brain of Chris Tate? You need to register on the blog tab of tradinggain.com.au. Chris's blog is jam-packed with witty observations about the markets that you can use to trade like a machine.
And last trading trivia question was, which British businessman was the real winner of the Napoleonic Wars? And the answer is Nathan Rothschild. Rothschild himself travelled to the continent to witness the battle between Napoleon and the Duke of Wellington. On Britain's victory, he hastened back to England and bribed a sailor, 2,000 francs, to cross the Channel in a storm. Upon arriving in London, he depicted a grim demeanour, which members of the exchange assumed meant bad news for England. Brokers associated with Rothschild reinforced the impression by selling government bonds and causing the market to sag. But secretly, other brokers working on behalf of Rothschild bought stocks quietly. They methodically bought up the bonds sold by fearful traders, and in a short period, Rothschild had accumulated a huge position. Suddenly, his demeanour brightened and he stepped forward to announce Wellington's great victory. Prices shot upwards and in a matter of hours, Rothschild had made another fortune. Next trivia question is, who said if a little money does not go out, great money will not come in? Find out the answer next time. Justin Gillick finished the Mentor program in 2010, and this year his trading is taking off like a rocket. We talk to him now about his trading journey from when he was a teenager to where he is now, the joys of learning trading, and the discipline he keeps every day. Justin Gillick, hello and welcome to Talking Trading.
Thanks, Carolyn. It's a privilege to be having the opportunity to talk to you.
Justin, you did the Mentor program in 2010, but it's really been the last 12 to 18 months that things have taken off for you like a rocket. Tell us, how did you become interested in trading in the first place?
Yeah, thanks, Carolyn. It's for me, trading has always been a real passion, I guess, and I know that's a bit of a cliche, but it was very early on in my life. I guess I was just exposed through family, and you're always hearing about equities and shares.
Lucky so you.
Yeah, that's true. That's a good start. Maybe it's not always the best advice you get. But so it was from there. And then I went on and studied like a commerce law degree, so economics, business, finance. So I got right involved in all the fundamentals, started purchasing shares off my own hard work and crunching numbers, I guess, listening to people, which is probably the worst thing you can do at this stage. I was probably about 18 or 19 and building up a portfolio of equities, which was basically to hold them forever, which is things as time goes on is not the best practice either. So it was something that, yeah, and I've always reading, and I was always into, you know, Wall Street Journal books, you name it, I was there and looking at all that sort of stuff. But I guess what really dropped on me is that I didn't have any consistency in results or any consistency, I guess, in how I would enter the market. So I think just through education and a bit of step back and nous, you realise that that system and that approach just was really sending me nowhere. So I think that was a defining moment, and that's probably 10 years of bad investing, I guess, at the penny drop.
So what happened next?
Well, from there, I just delved into any book I could get my hands on. I think probably about a year or so into it, that's when I came across Louise Bedford's book. Yeah, Trading Secrets, and I think I just put lines everywhere I could over the books and highlighted, and I guess that technical analysis sort of really resonated with me. So that's where a real drive came from there. And then I guess following around and identifying the website that Louise and Chris Tate had, I'd read the Art of Trading. More recently, I guess, Let the Trade Flow Win. But that was my early education, and I guess that's where I I just loved eyeballing charts, and that's what I do now, and still get a kick out of it, I guess. So that's where it really started. But then I realized from there was still a lot that I needed to learn, and a couple of emails just to Louise about the program, and then I joined without hesitation in 2010.
So what have been some of the key take-home messages from the mentor program?
Oh, look, there's just an unbelievable list, I guess, that I've got. But initially and immediately you just realize that you're in the best hands possible. The experience that Chris Tate and Louise bring, just from, you know, live trading experience over the years, it's just so evident early on in the program. And their passion and their willingness to, you know, transfer years of learning through to you, it really accelerates your process and my learning. It wouldn't be where it is today, there's no doubt, without their assistance.
What were some of the key moments in the mentor program?
Yeah, well, a key moment was just really making the effort and focusing on my own trading plan, which was as simple as, well, not as simple, but it's really, you know, focusing on how I would enter the market. Incredible learnings around money management and risk management, I guess, so that you're not in a situation where you're overexposed, but you're entering the market at you know, the correct times to your trading plan. So I guess it was rule-based. The need for discipline and consistency have just been reiterated through and through.
Are you consistent and disciplined?
Yeah, I am very, very consistent and disciplined now, and that's something that I can proudly say, and that's really cemented, like you said initially, Caroline, in the last 12 to 18 months. I've worked incredibly hard on my mindset as well, the whole psychology side. You get told early on that that's, you know, critical, but it really, I think that's been the fun part for me, and that's where I spend a lot of time.
How has it changed? How have you grown in that way?
I've just become... I have what I call a bit of an AM routine, which is sort of like a jogger in my memory. But I like to write a morning journal, which I guess when I wake up in the morning, it's just a reflection. I guess it's the subconscious of what's happening in my mind. I do a little bit of meditation. I exercise. And I guess they're the three things that I disciplinedly do every morning. But that just puts me in a clear state of mind then when I start to engage with the markets. And I think the most important part with the market as well is just accepting that you actually do not know what's going to happen next, but according to your trading plan and rules, you have a plan of engagement with the market. And that's taken some time for me, but now I can pull the trigger and enter without any sort of fear, I guess, or any fear of if this trade goes against me, you know, it's a poor effort by me. I just accept it as one of many and look at the opportunity.
The alumni, how do you find the support?
Yeah, well, even before the alumni, I think another massive benefit of the program is the trading buddy system. And I was allocated a buddy who lived, you know, within a couple of kilometres from home. And I guess over the 4 or 5 years that we've known each other, we catch up weekly. We bounce ideas off each other. We have our own sort of, we call it our trading Bible, which is just captured key comments from Chris and Louise's program. We've built in, you know, weekly routines and an analysis and our quarterly reviews. And without that, I wouldn't be where I am. So I owe a lot to that part of the program as well. And then you flow into the alumni, which is where you can just connect and contact, I guess, with everyone who's finished the program. So, you know, Australia-wide, internationally as well. So
what's next for you?
What's next? Well, I guess I'm having fun and I'm enjoying what I'm doing. There's a passion and I just want to trade well. I guess that's my mantra. And I've got clear objectives of where and what the trading will bring to me and also to my family and lifestyle. So I just enjoy getting up in the morning and, you know, engaging, like I said, in all my mindset and development and exercise and keep a really healthy mind and then engage the market according to my system rules. And, you know, the benefits and the returns that I've had this year have been really, really good and positive. And I guess I just look forward to an exciting future because trading's where I want to be.
Justin, we will have to wrap it up there. Thank you for your time.
All right. Thank you, Caroline.
And that's all we have for you today, guys. Thank you to our contributors, Justin Gillick and Chris Tate. Stay tuned next week as we speak to Australia's king of copywriting, Scott Bywater, on how to overcome your own negative self-talk. I'm Caroline Stephen, and on behalf of the team here, thanks for your company. We'll see you next time.
Talking Trading is sponsored by tradinggame.com.au and The Mentor Program. The Mentor Program has been running continuously since the year 2000 and is a six-month, repeat-for-free course run by Chris Tate and Louise Bedford. Make sure you're registered on tradinggame.com.au to hear more.
The views represented on Talking Trading are general in nature and do not take into account your objectives, financial situation, or needs. Before acting on any information, consider its appropriateness in regard to your own situation.